Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Rogan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Joined by Jeff Fiegels, I am John Schmelk, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to get involved in the program in that way, we got you for 1 hour of pure, unadulterated Giants and Eagles preview. The game's coming up tonight. It's always fun to talk to you guys on game day as the Giants get ready to take on the Eagles. They are down in Philly. I'll be heading down around 2 o'clock. Fiegels will be holding things down in the radio studio pregame. Then if you tune into My 9 postgame,
I'm all over the board.
TV. So today, Fiegels is doing web. Fiegels is doing radio. Fiegels is doing TV. He's the multimedia master.
We got the trio today.
We are.
But we got the duo right now.
No question about it. And, Jeff, let's get right into this game. Obviously, a very tough game in the division against the Philadelphia Eagles team that is 0-2 in the division. So this makes this more or less a must-win game for them. We've talked about it all year. Once you lose three games in the division, it's very hard to win the division that you're in.
Oh, sometimes. Most of the times it is. But you never know in this division.
No,
this
you don't.
Year, right? It could be, you know. Usually you're 0-3 in your division. Forget about it.
Now, to me, there are a few something's got to give moments in this game. Because these two teams have a couple of numbers here completely opposed to each other. And we're going to have to figure out which team's going to win these two battles. And the big one to me has to be turnovers. The Giants have protected the ball just as well as almost any other team in the NFL this year. Through five games, they have only, I believe, four giveaways so far this year.
Yeah.
And the Eagles are tops in the league in taking the ball away, or near the top at least. They're in the top five. 13 takeaways. So something's got to give. Either the Eagles are going to stop taking the ball away, or the Giants are going to stop protecting the ball as well as they have.
Well, you would think that the earlier of the two, you said, would probably give, because teams tend to give it away more than they take it away.
Yeah, takeaways are more a product of other teams' mistakes than they are of plays that you make.
And what could happen in this situation, John, is that if you have a team that has not given the ball away very much, has a little bit of injury bug. You got certain positions that may or may not be on the field, and there's a tendency sometimes to push things and shove things in there when they're not supposed to via, interceptions and, But, yeah, I think that something does have to give here, but I will tell you that the Giants will – I think that they're good in this department, though, but the Eagles are too. But in my opinion, if you're going to win this game – in their division, going on the road, you can't give on that statistic today. That's turnovers. You cannot give up. You cannot give up the ball on the road, as we know, because the number one statistic in football is that turnover ratio, especially when you go on the road. It's even more difficult to win when you turn the ball over.
I mean, Jeff, you're absolutely right. And, if you take a look at the Giants' overall numbers this year, they're 9th in total offense, but they're 26th rushing the football. They're 27th in yards allowed on defense, last in passing defense, 30th on third down, and you say, boy, this does not look like the overall numbers of a team that has a winning record at 3-2. But when you go and take a look at the turnover differential plus 5 through 5 games, then you say, you know what? Maybe we do understand why this team is 3-2. So that really makes all the difference, and it makes a lot of these other numbers moot.
It also makes – look at the sacks. This Giants team is protecting Eli well.
Correct.
So that's not –
second fewest sacks in the league.
So that helps the win loss record, and the way that their defense is playing the run is forcing other teams, for instance, like Washington. Just what happened to Washington yesterday. They go with the Alfred Morris, who didn't run. They couldn't run the football, and then they forced Cousins to throw the football. Well, that's what the Giants do. They stop the run, and then they force the quarterbacks to make mistakes. And once again, they're going to have to do that this week. We can look at these statistics, and we do. we break down these statistics. These are like our Bible when we come into breaking down the game. But there's one thing that there's not a statistic in here, and that's this rivalry between these two and the bad blood that goes on between the Eagles and the Giants, especially what happened last year. It's kind of scary, John, when you think about what this game led up to last year, it was the same scenario. 0-2 for the Giants, win 3 in a row, and they go on national TV and just get absolutely obliviated down there. I mean, just
obliviated? That's a new word.
Yeah, obliviated. Is that a word?
I don't think so.
It is today.
I think you're looking for obliterated.
No, obliviated. Yes, the other word.
All right, number two in the something's got to give department.
Okay, what do we got?
Something's got to give. The Giants this year, defensively on third down, I just mentioned it, 30th in the league. They're allowing teams to convert nearly 50% of their third down conversions. Yep. But offensively for Philadelphia, they're tied for 30th in terms of worst third down conversions offensively. Something's got to give.
I think with John Beeson, okay, you're right. Who's going to win this one?
And you know what? This is an important one, too.
Absolutely. I mean, because and I will tell you why it's important for the Giants is to convert those third downs, because you want to keep that Philly defense on the field as long as you can.
And how important is it for the Eagles to convert on their side? Because so far this year, they're only averaging about 24.5 minutes per game
last.
In terms of time of possession, yeah. Worst in the league, which obviously keeps that defense on the field an awful lot. And they need to convert first downs in order to, you know, for that fast-paced offense to work, you have to sustain drives. And the Eagles have had way too many three and outs this year. And the Giants, especially in the second halves of games, and that's the last thing I'm going to get to, they have to do a better job of getting people off the field. So, and I think a big part of it too, Jeff, in looking at those third down conversions, can Philly get into third and short? Or are they going to be in third and eight and third and nine and third and ten because they can't run the ball on first or second down? They've struggled rushing the ball all year. It's well documented. DeMarco Murray, less than 2 yards per carry. He has not been able to get going, and the Giants' rush defense has been one of the best in the league.
And when they do rush the ball, they win the games. So I think their philosophy is that they're going to try to run the football on this Giants defense, and see if they can, you know, fall into that category where they, if they do run the ball, they can win. But you know, John, Chip Kelly's his whole mantra for offense is he doesn't care about time of possession. He cares about number of plays. You know, so he wants to get those plays going. But
well, fine. They need to get more first downs to get more plays run.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, they are terrible on third down because of what they do on first and second, like you said. And so tonight, if they're going to try to run the football, they're going to have a hard time with this Giants defense. And, you know, depending on who's out there playing, because I feel like that Prince Amukamara is a key player in this run defense, because he is he's a good tackler out there. Even though he plays corner, he fills in and makes some tackles. So we'll have to see how that goes. And, you know, I know we'll talk about the injuries that we know of. I don't know, you know, who's going to be active and inactive tonight, but it certainly is going to make a difference on both sides of the football and also on both teams, because there are some Giants guys that are missing, and there are also some Eagles players that are going to be missing too that might cancel out each other.
Well, and let's talk about the injuries, and I'll get to that in just a second, but the last number I want to get to here is
it something's got to give number?
No, this actually isn't a something's got to
give
number. Right. This is something that actually I think should worry Giant fans a little bit. In the Eagles' disparity offensively, their first half and second half effectiveness, they've been much better, and Sam Bradford specifically, I'll see if I can find the numbers here. I'm not sure if I have them on me, but he has been a much better quarterback in the second half of games this year. And we've seen over the last few weeks, even a couple of wins, the Giants defense has had the tendency to give up a couple of long drives at the end of these games. So if that continues to be the case, I think it's really important, Jeff, for the Giants to get off to a fast start this week. They have to have a lead early. They have to have a lead at the half. You turn the Eagles into a one-dimensional team. We've seen Sam Bradford make mistakes. He had 2 picks in the red zone last week, even in a game that they won against the Saints. I think you have to have a lead here going into the second half based on what these two teams have done in terms of halves of the game so far this year.
Well, look what the Giants have done this season coming off out of halftime. They've been putrid in the third quarter. They've been horrible. Vice versa, the Eagles have done pretty good in the second half. So that leads to your point is that, yeah, they got to get out on top and, you know, and sustain. They've got to get these drives going today for the Giants. I mean, in my opinion, one of the keys to the victories of this game today is time of possession for the Giants and converting third downs. To me, if you can do that, and, you know, both these teams average right in the mid-20s, which is like, you know, a little, you know, above average. But I think that there's going to be a high-scoring game today. I think that's probably both teams are going to score close to 30 points. And I think it's going to come down, like a rivalry game, it's going to come down to something in the fourth quarter. Now the Giants, the Giants have had their share of good and bad in the fourth quarter, and we'll see which one happens today.
All right, now let's talk about the injuries very quickly, Jeff.
Sure.
It would appear that Ruben Randall's going to go. No Victor Cruz, obviously. So Devon Kennard did not make the trip down there, so he's not going to play in this game. We saw Robert Ayers practice this week. The hope is that he's going to be able to go. We saw Jonathan Casillas practice this week. The hope is that he's going to be able to go. Same for George Selvey. Same for Ruben Randall. All those players practice this week. The hope is that they're going to go. We'll know at game time whether or not that's the case. The big question, obviously, and this is the real kicker for last, is number 13, Odell Beckham Jr. He did limited work on Sunday. He'll come out. He'll run before the game. They'll see how he feels. And Jeff, there's a balance here between how well can Beckham do in the game with the way he's feeling. And the second part of that is what's the chance of not just re-injury, but further aggravation where the hamstring gets worse if he plays and it's still not 100%. Because that's the last thing you need.
It's
you know,
lingering.
You got the Cowboys next week. Then you have two road games. You have the Patriots. You can't have Beckham out for 4 or 5 weeks here. And if you have a wide receiver, you have a hamstring, guess what? You're going to miss a few weeks.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate it has to be today because the Giants need him.
Yeah. They need him every week.
But it's a great argument, and you don't kind of without us really knowing the severity of the injury, is this something that he can maybe just manage for the next couple weeks before then it gets all better? But you're right. You know, it's going to be a cold night tonight and running around out there. So, you know, who knows?
Turf.
John Beeson. What's the story with John Beeson?
John Beeson should be a go. I mean, he came back from that concussion last week. Clearly not a member of the Alex Boone fan club. Boone came out later in the week and said, obviously, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody, and he basically apologized for it. So
sure.
I think everyone's kind of put that behind them. But moving forward now, you know, I think Beeson's okay. But the question is, can Beeson get through the game? And we've seen in weeks past, can he stay healthy throughout these games? And I think one thing I worried last week in the second half against the 49ers, we saw the Niners run the ball better against this Giant defense than any other team had run against the Giants all year. Now, that's just a blip in the radar, and I would tend to blame that on the fact that so many guys are missing.
Beeson
was out. Kennard was out.
Yeah.
Ayers was out. Selvey was out. Casillas was out. It's hard to, you know, bring in all these backups and still be as good against the run, but that's another big thing tonight. If Beeson's on the field, slow down to Marco Murray. We've seen what he can do against this Giants defense with Dallas in the past.
Well, I think that's the key, too, on defense is to have, you know, just because John Beeson is in that game, it makes a huge difference whether he's around the football or not because he is the leader of that defense. When I mean leader, vocal, he's the guy that gets the guys lined up. He knows the defense. He's like an extension of Steve Spagnuolo on the field. So you see that drop-off in production out of the defense in certain categories when he's not in there. And also when Kennard, you know, those two guys, when they're in there together, that defense is pretty good. So we'll see how he goes tonight. But I think that, like you said, John, the main point is what are we going to do with Beckham? That's going to be if he's out of the lineup, you know, then there's going to be Harris is going to be in there. You're going to get the young kid from UConn, Jeremy Davis, in the mix a little bit. But, you know, we haven't talked much about it. I'm sure we're going to get to it with some of the callers. Is this secondary? I mean, the Giants may go into this game with three corners.
Yeah, Prince is the other one that's not going to play. Tremaine McBride is going to be a game-time decision, it would seem. So you got Hosley, you got Trevin Wade, you got Dominique Rodgers-Camardi. They brought up a guy off the practice squad the other day.
Yeah.
And let's see. And against an Eagle. And here's the thing about the Eagles. And I actually asked – what did I ask about this the other day? I asked one of the Giants' secondary players about this. And I asked them, you know, does it make it easier or harder when you don't know who the team's number one option is? Because with the Eagles – who's their number one? Obviously, Jordan Matthews, but he's a little more of a slot guy. Who's their outside guy that they're really looking for down the field that can make big plays? I mean, I'm just not sure. Is it Huff? Aguilar's not going to play. Is it Riley Cooper? Austin? I mean, who's the guy?
I saw a stat that Lance brought out the other day.
Is it one of the tight ends?
Well, you know what happens with the tight end and the Giants. It can never come. I mean, Celek has always had good games against the Giants.
Yes.
But, you know, their number one guy is Matthews. He's got more receptions than combined all those other four times combined to those other guys. But, you know, Celek, the tight ends, yeah, you don't know who. But I got to think that you think Matthews is the guy. So you're going to, you know, that's going to be your number one. So who do you, you know, I don't know. We talked a little before we came on the air today. We and I were just discussing this game a little bit, and you know, this defense does not play the pass well. And Bradford, he's a rhythm quarterback. If he gets in the rhythm and he can get it going, The Giants may run into a little bit of problems defensively. So really, you know, what do you do tonight if you're the defense for the Giants? You got to get pressure on the quarterback sometimes. Sometime. Today's the day. Tonight's the night, you know. Come up with something different, because certainly the guys in the backfield are – they're pretty depleted back there.
Final point before we get to your calls at 201-939-4513. I did a college football game on Saturday with Jay Fiedler.
Nice.
Former Miami Dolphin, yeah. Former Philadelphia Eagle.
Dartmouth guy.
I actually thought he played with you down in Philly, but he actually missed you by
a couple years, yeah.
By a year or two. Anyway, and we were talking about Sam Bradford, and he made the point that, you know, I think Bradford was a much more accurate passer in college than he's been so far in the NFL. And I wonder if that's maybe him not being fully confident on the ACL yet with the knee. Because I agree. I thought even when he first started with St. Louis, he was a more accurate passer. I've seen him make some, you know, bad decisions are one thing, but I've seen him have some open guys with Philly and simply miss them.
Well, you know, Spags, he had an interview on Giants.com the other day, was mentioning, you know, when they drafted him, they
were very impressed
about his accuracy and his arm strength. So, it could be a product of, you know, a little bit of here and there, but I certainly think that he can, you know, he is accurate when he wants to be. Hopefully he's not tonight, you know.
All right, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football, including Jeff Eagles. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. We're going to review Jeff's picks tomorrow.
They're right here.
I don't have them on me today.
Well, they're
Where'd
right
you
there.
Go? Andy Dalton had a... He was pretty good, right?
Yeah, he had three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns, can't argue with that. Giovanni Bernard was also pretty good. He had a rushing touchdown, not a lot of yards, though. And then Alshon Jeffrey played, and that hurt you with Marquise Wilson.
I know, yeah.
You rolled the dice, and you were done. Anyway,
I rolled the dice that one of those guys were not going to play good.
We will have that full review tomorrow, so I'm sure you guys are very excited
about
that.
Which, by the way, I'll be on tomorrow to review my own picks tomorrow.
Yes, and I believe – well – have you set that up with Lance? Are you guys switching Tuesday and Friday yet?
I will see Lance. I have an extended period with Lance today. We will discuss that.
Sorry about that.
we're going to be spending a lot of time.
Multiple
today.
Hours at Lance Meadow. That is not what I call a fun night.
It's all good.
That's a rough one. 201-939-4513. The man waiting the longest since the start of the show, very patiently, is Abdul out of Minneapolis. Abdul, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I need a Giants win tonight after what happened to my Wolverines this weekend. I'm still
Oh, boy. You're a Michigan fan, huh, Abdul? That's a rough one, dude.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's as Jeff knows, that punter, I feel so bad for that.
I felt so bad watching that. Ugh. I mean, I couldn't believe that the play happened, but I just felt so bad for that kid. I mean, you know, listen, in the pros, you can take it. You know, you get paid to do that kind of thing, but I mean, that's just like...
As a kid walking around campus, that must be so rough. But anyway, back to the pros. I just read about Will Beatty being able to practice. I know you guys can't really talk about personnel, so I was just wondering.
We can talk about personnel. Abdul, your question?
What is the process? He's eligible to start practicing on Monday, I guess.
Yeah.
On tomorrow, Tuesday, whatever. Mm-hmm. Has he been working out? Has he been able to lift weights? Or does he start doing that now?
Well, lifting weights is part of a rehabilitation process. I'm not sure what he's been. I'm not sure what he's been cleared to do, Abdul.
I mean, we've seen him around here.
If he's ready to lift weights, he is allowed to lift weights during that 6-week rehab period. Absolutely,
he's just not allowed on the field to run plays, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely,
not allowed to practice.
Yes,
gotcha. Okay, because I was thinking, how can he get ramped up and ready? You know, without. Okay, I got it now. Makes sense.
Well, you know what, and really, kind of like you said, how does he get ramped up and ready? Well, he's not ramped up and ready. He's been maybe lifting. I know he's been lifting some weights and conditioning himself and rehabbing this and that. He has not stepped foot on the field and practiced.
Right.
So to think that he could just come back next week and play, not going to happen.
I don't think that. I'm thinking a few weeks, but still, I was thinking he has to lift weights, get his chest stronger, all that kind
of
stuff.
Well, of course he does.
I think that's been happening. Behind the scenes.
Well, yeah, you know, Abdul, it has been happening. But look, as the muscle's healing, you can't lift heavy. So he's probably been slowly building up strength. Now, he might have normal man strength, but, you know, there's going to be probably some time they're going to take to get the football offensive line strength back. So that's all part of the rehab process.
I hear you. And second of all, I haven't heard this a lot about this. How is the Eagles' run defense? I know
they're pretty good.
It's excellent. Yeah, I mean, overall, they're ninth in the league. But if you look at their yards per play, which is a better judge based on the fact they're on the field so much, they're actually third in the NFL in terms of yards per play per rush. So they're very good up front.
And they're 10th in the league overall rushing defense. So
Okay. Yeah, all right. So I'm not feeling too good so far today. you know what? We got to play this game. As you said, these games throw out the stats, and, you know, because it's an individual game, and anything happens. Hopefully the Giants will step up and run the ball a little bit, and hopefully Eli will have a great game. I'm looking forward to a great game, and hopefully it'll make up for the Wolverines' loss again. All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks
Abdul.
You know, John, I think that
he needs a hell of a one to make up for that Wolverines' loss.
I was watching it in my kitchen yesterday. And
hopefully
you
weren't near any sharp objects.
I was right near a lot of sharp objects, but I could really care less about those two teams, especially Harbaugh. I'm not a big fan of his, but I just felt bad for that kid.
Carl Banks is pretty happy.
Yeah. Why is that?
He's Michigan State.
Oh, he went to Michigan State. Well, hell yeah. Then he's excited. Yeah. Other than that, yeah.
Don's probably not real happy, though.
But just, you know, and it's funny because in those situations, you know, there's not a lot of pressure on punters usually. Maybe you're backed up or this kind of thing. But you got to understand the situations there. And
you got to fall on the ball, right?
You just got to fall on the ball.
Now, here's a question for you. And you might not know this because this didn't become into vogue until after you were long gone. What's up with these rugby soccer style run to the side kicks? They seem like such a high risk type of punt. Maybe just I'm a traditionalist
way it should be.
But it just seems like really, really risky.
It's very risky. And the other thing too is that, you know, it buys time for the guys to get down the field, you know, because they can release right away in college.
But it also gives time for the rushers to get to the punter.
Well, sometimes. But, I mean, there's a lot of the teams that do that are just – they're an option. I mean, they give the kid they give him an option to go, to run for the first down.
That's nuts.
Yeah. That's nuts. And it's really hard to evaluate guys like that because you're not a traditional pocket punter. If you're on the run, you're averaging 49 yards. Well, you're kicking at 25, and it's just rolling and rolling and rolling. So, anyways. But my point – I was going to get back to Abdul about, you know, this game – I think that this is where coaching can really make an effect on a game, especially the two coordinators that are with the Giants here. Mm-hmm. I think that Spags is going to have a plan for this Eagles team, a special plan to try to do something with this offense. And then I think that McAdoo, because of the injuries and what's he's going to do, what are they going to do? Are they going to try to run the football? They're going to stay what they're going to stay. But I think these two guys have an advantage over the guys down in Philly, in my opinion.
All right, back to the phone, the 201-939-4513. Dennis is in Miami. He's up next. Dennis, what's up?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Good to call. Jeff, good to talk to you again.
You too.
We've talked before. John Schmelk, first time talking to you, and an honor.
Oh, thanks for calling
it,
Dennis.
You guys are doing good today.
We are.
Yeah, we got you on the line from Miami. It was a lot warmer there than it is here. I don't know if you're in Miami, but
it sure is. Yeah, it sure is. I'm in Miami. It's a little overcast, but probably warm, you know, upper 80s today. You'd have a great day outside.
Oh, that sounds great.
I just wanted to get an update. I haven't been able to – I've been keeping up, but I haven't seen any new updates on Daniel Fells, and I always think it's important that G-Nation shouts out for him and keep him in our thoughts. Have you guys heard anything about how he's progressing?
You know what? We haven't had much new news since last week where I'm not going to say he turned the corner, but he was doing better, and he seemed to be the arrow was pointing up a little bit on him. But I have not heard any new news, so I hesitate to speculate on that because I don't have any new information. But I can tell you all the players here are praying for him daily, and everyone hopes he gets back on his feet. But I can tell you, Daniel Fells is a really good dude, one of the nicest guys in that locker room. Great guy to talk to, and I just hope he comes out of this okay.
An integral in our team. You know, I think he brings an extra layer of effectiveness to our team that we sorely need at this point.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, I just wanted to start off. I really wanted to talk about, you know, how effective we think we're going to be with maybe doing some short throws over the line, you know, to Shane Vereen, getting him to do his typical dink and dunking with this defense that we're about to face. You know, I'm afraid of this Bernie Logan that nobody talks about, him
Benny
jumping
Logan's
out
good.
And scheming around us. I mean, what do you guys think about that and how we're going to be able to get that short game going to then open up our throwing out to the secondary?
The Eagles play a lot of man-to-man, and Jeff's watched tape this week. I've looked at it too. And Jeff, they play a lot of bump-and-run man-to-man, and when you do that, it's hard to find somebody to play man-to-man against Shane Vereen out of the backfield.
You can't. You really can't because, you know, if he's lined up on the line of scrimmage, it's a little easier. But coming out of the backfield, man-to-man is really difficult for anyone. And I think that the Giants are, as of late, understanding, you know, hey, we may not get our 100 yards rushing per game that we want, but we're going to get 30 or 40 or maybe 50 out of that short passing game to the running backs. which is an extension of the running game in this offense. So I think you look at that, and I think that they have to utilize him tonight. The Eagles will know that what he's done in the past. Really, the last couple games, Shane Vereen has showed up. The two games before that, kind of a little quiet, and then the first part of the season, he was active. So we'll see how they use him tonight.
Yeah, anything else, Dennis?
And then I guess on another point is my concern is our secondary. The Eagles have these big, tall, massive receivers, and our secondary's in a little bit of a shambles. Do you see any different attack coming in there from our side? Any changing in the way we currently are playing in the secondary?
Well, I don't. I just think that they stay the course, and I think a lot of times, and John and his staff, they do a good job during the week. The coordinators are on Giants.com, and you go look and see. You can read and you can kind of understand what Spagnuolo is saying about this defense, and they're not afraid to let you have anything up front. They're afraid to have something over the top. So, and the question
That's
was asked,
sure.
and I thought it was very ironic that he actually answered it this way. He was asked about, are you concerned about your 30th rated passing defense and everybody catching anything underneath? And he's like, I didn't really think about that. That's what he was saying.
Well, the body, Dennis, and the bottom line, and thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it, is that they don't want to get they don't want to get beat over the top.
And those tall receivers, hey, listen, they'll give them all they want underneath, but they're not going to let them get over the top.
And talking to people, that have played the Giants, the one thing everyone points out about this defense is how hard everyone plays.
Oh my gosh,
everyone flies to the ball. They just work their butts off. And while you might not see a bunch of guys head to the Pro Bowl and things like that after the season's over, as a unit, they're playing as a team, and they're all playing extremely hard, which I think is a credit to the coaching staff and the players, of course.
And the players, and I think that they all have a goal in mind, and they don't want to let the next guy down. And I think that because of the injuries on every team, particularly with the Giants, that they just the next guy up. And that next guy up is expected to play with physical toughness and attitude like the guy that got hurt.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Alan in D.C., good to hear from you, Alan. Long time no speak.
What's up, bud? Alan?
Hey, guys. I'm super excited about tonight. If there's one team in this division that I personally dislike the most, it's got to be Philly. They play us well, even when they have a bad team. Considerably, their team has changed much. How do you guys think losing McCoy versus adding Murray is going to change the way they run?
Well, I'm glad they got rid of McCoy.
When I heard, I almost had tears in my eyes.
He's a giant killer, that guy, he's also a different runner.
The problem is that 2 weeks later, you had more tears in your eyes when you found that they added DeMarco Murray.
Well, I think they're two different runners. I think McCoy is just that's he's can cut back on you.
Oh yeah.
Murray
wants to get downhill.
He wants to get downhill, and he's going to get you those yards. So, but still, they're both pretty darn good running backs.
And so is Ryan Matthews, by the way.
Exactly. Good point.
And so is Darren Sproles, by the way.
And we haven't mentioned him a lot. And hopefully nobody will, after midnight tonight, nobody will mention his name either, because he is a dangerous guy for that team.
Sproles looks healthy too, Alan. That's one thing. Last year, Sproles had a very quiet season, but he was really banged up from the get-go. He's healthy this year. They're using him on punts. They're using him out of the backfield. And, these Eagles running backs, I don't think they're going to hurt the Giants necessarily on the ground tonight, because I like the Giants' run defense, but I'd be very wary of all three of these guys in the passing game. They can all catch passes out of the backfield.
Yeah, I have a lot riding on this game. My boss is a big Philly guy, and we made a little friendly wager of one of us has to, whoever loses has to dress up as the other one for Halloween. So if I lose, I have to come in as a Philly guy. If he loses, he's got to come in as the Giant. So it's a lot of fun. My birthday's on Wednesday, so having this win against a rival like Philly will make it that much sweeter. But thanks for everything, guys. If you guys could just touch on Sproles, and I'll take it off there. You think how he's going to do tonight?
No problem. First of all, no pressure, Alan. You obviously have a lot riding on this game.
I was going to say,
happy birthday. Bet with the boss.
Bet with the boss.
Yeesh.
It's all right. Hey, way to put the pressure on you.
Yeah, seriously. Look, Sproles is dangerous. We all know what he can do. You get him the ball in space, Jeff, he's going to do some damage.
Yeah, and it's hard to cover a guy like that. And not only offensively, but from special teams. You know, you got to understand Brad Wing is going to be punting to this guy tonight, and just you need to get. And this is a time when you'll say, "Give me 38 yards out of bounds or a fair catch." That's all I want, Brad.
And we haven't talked about Brad a lot this year, and that's an oversight on our part. No one ever wants to talk about the punter, as Jeff well knows. But Brad Wing's done a hell of a job.
He's done a great job, and I think that he continues to get better. And tonight's one of those challenges that he needs to step up and understand what the game wants you to do and your team. Coach Coffin, all he wants you to do is hit it 38 yards with a fair catch. And if that takes you backed up, hitting your end over end Aussie kick that you were born to learn, that you know how to do, just do it. But do not give that guy an open lane to catch the ball and run, because he's a better athlete than the 11 guys that are covering that.
Nothing
kick
near the hash marks and nothing on line
no,
drives.
You want everything outside the numbers, and, you know, and then you got to be, and then also on kickoffs too. So I'm looking for a big play out of the special teams unit tonight from the Giants. I mean, you know, you're seeing some of these block kicks around the country, some, you know, punt returns for touchdowns. You know, let's not give up any of those, but let's get something if you're the Giants tonight in a big game.
And Dwayne Harris has come close a couple times, punt and kick, so he's gotten really,
really
close.
What I don't want him to do is get frustrated because of what's happened up to this point, where he's been expecting something big and it hasn't, and to try to push it. And
he's been good, though, overall.
Oh, he's been great, but I know in his mind his expectation is, hey, they brought me in here to make big plays on special teams. I haven't done it yet. Please don't force it tonight. Don't do something stupid. Just – you know, the best thing for a punt returner is to give the ball back to the offense. That's the thing right there. Get one first down, that's a 10-yard return, and give the ball back to the offense.
Before you're a punt returner, you're a punt catcher. So make sure you do that first.
Pet punt catcher. There you go. Yeah, we got that.
You're really struggling with the English language today, Jeff.
Well, I struggle with the English language every day. Are you kidding me? I'm not afraid to say that either.
I know you're not. That's why I'm teasing you about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go to Kathy in Washington, D.C. next. Kathy, what's going on?
Hey, I only have one question. Is my boy ODB, number 13, going to play?
Is my answer, I don't know, a good enough answer for you?
No.
We don't know.
Well, then I don't have it much for you, Kathy. We all hope that he does.
We hope he can.
Put it this way. Based on his attitude and the, you know, bump in his step this week and his enthusiasm and his attitude, you know, if I had to, you know, place a bet, I'd say yes. But
right. But
you get out there in the cold weather. He's going to stretch and run before the game, see how he feels. You don't want to risk re-injury. You know, how effective could he be if he plays? That decision will get made probably around 2 hours before the game, I'd say. So keep an eye on Twitter. I'm sure the Giants will have it up. Inactives are announced 90 minutes before the game. You know, just check it out and we'll have it for you. And, you know, for the Giants' sakes, hopefully he plays.
All right, and for you two handsome gentlemen,
yeah.
Go New York.
Thank you.
For life.
Got that.
Thank you, Kathy.
Best two looking guys on this show,
well,
you know, by far.
The best hair on the show.
Yeah.
That's absolutely no doubt about it. We have the best hair going.
Whatever hair is left up there, right? But
it's just finally trimmed. It's okay.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. But listen, we have no problems waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and not have to do anything to our hair. It's great. You should try it every once in a while.
No comb necessary.
It's called low maintenance.
Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania next. Joe, what's going on? I'm sure you're getting some heat today, Joe.
Joe.
Hi, guys.
You battling them off down there? Huh? You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine there. I said they're going to try to psych us out tonight. They're wearing their black jerseys tonight.
Ooh.
I don't know if they're handing out the black handkerchiefs and that, too. But it's psycho, but I really think it's going to be a close game there, and I think they're going to come out throwing the Eagles, you know, I would, you know, against our defense the way
why not?
It shows with no pass rush and that. And their team, Murray, there, a lot of them want Matthews in there more, that he's doing so much more better. And Sproles is the guy we got to watch for sure. He's been their one breakaway guy. But I think it's going to come down to two, like I said, marching the team down the field, and then when you get to the red zone, who's going to score if you have to settle for field goals? Their field goal kicker has been shaky, missing some extra points and some field goals and turnovers, and hopefully it, you know, could decide this game. And hopefully we can pull out a close one. That's all I'm saying. So, but then next week's another big one, you know. So
absolutely. In fact, Joe, I'll tell you, I think the Cowboy game is even more important than the Philly game because the Giants have already lost to Dallas once this year. And the last thing you want to do is get Dallas winning a couple games here without Romo and have them still be alive. You want to bury the Cowboys now. Get 7 losses on the board for them before Romo's back and make him go undefeated the rest of the way to, you know, to have him give him a chance to win the division and make the playoffs. You don't want to let that team breathe right now. That's the last thing you want.
I don't want to let this team breathe either.
Yeah,
I agree. The next 2 weeks, really. And next week, you know, after we get through this one, will be a bigger one because we do have a return chance against the Eagles, win or lose. I hate to say that the following week, but I should like to really like to beat them twice in Dallas and give us a little breathing room here. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks,
all right, Joe. Thank you, buddy.
By the way, Saints are playing a little bit better now, too.
Who's that?
Saints are playing
Saints
a little bit better.
Yeah, you know what? They're
playing a little bit better.
Yeah, they're kind of like, you know, they play a great game, then they play a bad game. But they're beating the teams we want them to beat.
They beat Dallas and Atlanta.
Exactly. So, you know. And then the Jets do the Giants a favor yesterday by beating the Redskins.
Yes, they did. Well, the Redskins are just giving up on running the football, huh?
Wow.
Why don't they give the ball to Alfred Morris anymore? I don't get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, they like
– I know their offensive line is banged up, but still. You don't have an answer for me, do you? You got nothing.
I don't. All I know is that how can you give up running the football when you have Kirk Cousins that can't throw it?
Well, he can throw it. He just has to throw it to the guys with the wrong jersey on.
That's my point. Yeah, you can throw it, but to the wrong person.
All right. Here's a question for you. And I'm not sure if I made this a fact or fiction on the radio broadcast tonight or not.
I'll tell you.
I don't have the binder with me. Oh, you already have your answers ready.
No,
you,
I have them right here.
The Eagles have 17 straight meetings against the Giants without a 300-yard individual passing performance.
That is not on our fact or fiction.
Okay.
So we're going to make that right now.
We're going to make that fact or fiction. Will Sam Bradford throw for 300 yards tonight?
Yes, he will. Yeah, he will. Because this game is going to be – it's going to be up-tempo, pace. This Giants team cannot stop the pass.
Now, here's the trick, though. 300 yards is fine. How many interceptions go along with those 300 yards?
2.
All right. And I think if that happens, I think the Giants have a great shot.
I think they have a good shot. And I also think that carrying on with that, so now we're kind of understanding how the defense is going to play. They're going to give up a lot of yards passing, but they're going to get some turnovers. On the offensive side for the Giants, this stat kills me, is this red zone stuff.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet either.
30th in the league in the red zone, okay?
Third worst.
And the Eagles' offense is 18th in the red zone. So they're not great, but they're certainly way better than the Giants, and they're 30th. They got to be able to put touchdowns on the board today.
And the Eagles 8th defensively. And, you know, here's the thing. You take a look at these numbers with the Eagles' defense real quick, and then we'll get back to your calls. They're 23rd overall. Against the pass, they're 26th. Against the run, they're 10th. But that's overall yardage, okay? And I don't think it's fair to judge the Eagles' defense based on overall yardage because of the way their offense plays. They have so many more snaps.
Sure. Yeah, so their time of possession on offense is
– the stat you want to look at is yards per play. And if you look at the yards per play defense for the Eagles, I think their overall rank is somewhere near the middle of the pack. Passing-wise, they're 9th in the league against the pass in yards per play, and they're 3rd against the run in yards per play. So this Eagle defense, I think, is better than some of those overall numbers might make you think.
And this team, you know, they lost two of their games. Two of the games they lost less than 5 points, I think it was, yep. Right? I mean, so they've been in these games, and so just their record is, 2-3, but
yeah, Eagles, here's the Eagles schedule this year. I can give it to you. At Falcons, week 1, 26-24. Cowboys lost 20-10. And that game, they really got dominated.
They
the Cowboys
did.
Really took it to them in that game. I don't even think they had 200 yards offense in that game, Philadelphia. Then they beat the Jets 24-17, lost to the Redskins 23-20. Kirk Cousins drove them down for a game-winning touchdown. And then they beat the Saints 39-17.
So, yeah, I mean – and then, you know, we can talk about the Giants, too. You know, those two games that they lost at the beginning of the season,
yeah.
They could be sitting here 5-0.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Every NFL team can say that about a couple plays here or there.
Right. But it is, you know, to me, I think that you can't overlook this Eagles defense. They're mm-hmm. pretty good. And that's what Joe was just saying. He was saying, you know, this Eagles defense scares me.
And Benny Logan, who Ocola brought up before, is an excellent defensive lineman. So is Fletcher Cox. They are very strong up front.
And Fletcher Cox had a hell of a week last week.
Defensive player of the week.
And, you know, so you look at the way he's playing. These guys got, you know, they got some good players. The other guy I want to point out is, I'm going to look up his stats real quick, is Connor Barwin is a pretty good player too.
And he was a terror last year getting after the Giants on the pass rush.
Unbelievable, right? Last season made the Pro Bowl for the first time. Talk about a great story. You know, that guy's, you know, he rides his bike to practice every day. So I would if I could, you know, but.
You could ride your bike if you wanted to.
Yeah, but he rides. He lives in the city, you know, Philadelphia, and rides his bike. There's a story on it last year, but pretty good. But, you know, I got to watch out for them. And
you don't want to ride your bike on the turnpike going north? No?
I advise nobody to ride their bike on the turnpike going north, not me or anyone else.
All right, Jeff and Len, you're going to have to hold on for a second. This guy hasn't called up in a while, and I have to get to him first. Let's go to line two. Roldy in New York. Roldy, what's up, pal?
What's up, John? What's going on?
How are you, man? Long time no speak.
I know. What's going on, Jeff?
Roldy, I don't ever recall having you on the program.
That's because Roldy called in before you even showed up.
Well, okay, that's good. I'm just I know you and John go back a ways, but
I'm just calling, man.
Thank you.
We got to get this win over the Philadelphia Eagles, man. I hate the team. I hate the whole state of Pennsylvania, except for Allentown. Shout out to Allentown and Lowell McCungie. That's the only parts I like about Pennsylvania.
That's fine.
But the fans, we got to finally get this win. I know we're going to face a tough defensive team. I know the record doesn't show that they're, you know, a really good team, but they are. We just got to find a way to get this win. My question is, do you think J'Ron Holsey is ready to take hold of that position while Prince is gone?
Oh, I do. I think that, you know, I think that because, and we've talked about this all year, is the fact that he switched those positions from being the slot corner out to the outside. That's helped him. And I think that he filled in admirably for DRC in those two games that he got hurt. And really the third one is that they have no other option.
And, you know, Roldy, in complete honesty, and I think Jeff would probably answer us the same way, and if you would have asked us back in March or February that in week 5 or week 6, whatever this is, the Giants are going to Philadelphia and J'Ron Holsey's starting at corner, we would have been like, oh, boy.
We're in trouble.
What went wrong? But yeah. J'Ron Holsey has completely turned it around from his first three seasons. He's playing so much better. They're letting him play that press-style play that he likes to do outside. Now, I'm curious to see what's going to happen when teams try to challenge him in his size because he's not the biggest corner outside. So I like to see what would happen when a team starts to challenge him on maybe some of those fade routes, or some back shoulder throws, things like that. But so far, Holsley's done everything he's been asked to this offseason, and he's been a real pleasant surprise.
Improved his tackling, too.
That's true. Now, also, one last thing.
Yeah.
Is it also fair to say, guys, that our offensive line has been doing a good job, you know, on the passing plays? And if you look at it, even on the running plays, is it fair to say it's really not all on the offensive line that the running game is not going good? Is it fair to really say it's you know, Rashad Jennings and, you know, I know Andre Williams hasn't really been getting a lot of burn, you know, is the reason why we're not that good of a running team?
I don't think they get a lot of great push.
The offensive line, but I feel like the, you know, Rashad Jennings is, it's just, he's not picking it up as well, too. Is it fair to say that?
Well, I think it's in my opinion, you can't put it all on the offensive line. I think it goes both ways.
But it also goes
that tight end. We do not have, the Giants don't, other than Fells, who's not going to be back, they don't have a blocking tight end to help that offensive
line
some of those run plays. Hello? And the other thing is that
we're with you, Roldy.
Is the running backs, you know, they got to do a better job too. You know, a better push getting in there, finding the holes, and you know, so it's kind of collectively all together, not just on the offense.
Yeah, and talking to Rashad Jennings a couple weeks ago, he said he thinks the running backs have left a couple of yards out there on the field.
Yes, he did.
So
yeah.
I think it goes both ways, but I do think you can get a little bit of better push in the run game on the offensive line. And Roldy, I think, too, talking about pass protection, I think you've seen the tackles get beat from time to time. You expect that out of a rookie left tackle, who, by the way, is still, you know, has to deal with an ankle injury, and then you have Marshall Newhouse. But here's the thing. The way this offense is designed now, you don't need those tackles to hold up for 3 or 4 seconds out there.
No.
The way this offense is run, they could just push their guy outside. Eli takes 3 steps and lets it go. So I think they play great complementary football. They understand where the strengths and weaknesses are, and they go from there.
All right. I'm going to leave you with this, John. Are you ready for some Knicks basketball? I know it's a Giants show, but tell me, I just want to know your opinion right now.
Yeah, what do you got?
Like the guys that Phil Jackson brought in right now? I know it's only preseason, But I like the way these guys are playing together right now, all right? And I'll take, I'll listen to it off here. I know it's a Giants show, but I want to take your opinion on what you think about the Knicks.
I'll be some Knicks fans here, too.
I will be real fast on a roll, because I know people, we only got 15 minutes, we want to do Giants. But I like the way they're playing in the preseason. I don't think they look as robotic in the triangle. I think they're running a lot more pick and roll, and they're running a lot more. Their pace is a lot better. I like Jaren Grant, the rookie. I think he's a big improvement of point guard. I could do with a little less Sasha Vujacic out there. I like to see a lot more Aaron Aflalo. Derek Williams is hitting his shots in the preseason. I'll be curious to see if that continues in the regular season. And I think the defense is a little bit better. So, you know, do I think they're going to be the 4 or 5 seed? No. Do I think they have an outside chance of challenging for the 8 seed? Sure, why not? That's it. 201-939-4513. I told you I'd be quick.
Jump ball.
Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
Hey, Johnny and Jeff, how you guys doing
What's
today?
Up, Jeff? How are you, pal?
What's up?
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Listen, just an obvious thing. I mean, I'm just hoping OBJ is ready to go tonight big time, because I think we're going to have a hell of a time winning without him in the lineup. To me, tonight to me is a good time for us maybe to have seen that we get some reinforcement on the defensive line. Maybe we can get a little more pressure on the opposing quarterback that doesn't have a whole lot of mobility. So I think that would be a really good thing to happen tonight. As far as Vereen goes, what do you think about maybe they've done it and I haven't seen it, but how about throwing him out in the slot once in a while? Do you think he could be more effective using him that way instead of running the you know, the traditional circle pass coming out of the backfield? What do you think about that?
You know, Jeff mentioned this earlier, Jeff, that – problem is that, and I got confused for a second, the problem, you put Vereen out there in the slot, you can put a corner on him. You can put a slot corner on him. I think they'll have a much better chance of covering him. But if you have him run those routes out of the backfield, Jeff, it creates a lot more matchup problems.
Yeah, and I think once in a while you can put him out there, but I think not every down. Maybe that's kind of what you're alluding to, like, you know, let's change it up a little bit here and there. And he has played outside before.
And I think what you can do, you start him in the backfield and you motion him out to the slot, and then that might bring a linebacker with him for isolation coverage too.
Exactly. So that could, yeah. I mean, but I believe that you got to have him involved in the game plan today as that short passing game, as an extension of the running game, because this defense for the Eagles is pretty good. Pretty good, and the Giants
I always sweat it out when we play the Eagles, and the Giants' running game is still not going anywhere to me. You still got that lousy 3.6 yards per carry.
It's got to get better. Agreed. 26 in the league. It has to get better.
Another thing, just a casual observation, watching games yesterday and for the past few weeks, it seems to me if you need a third down, you got a third and long, throw the ball 30, 40 yards downfield, and it's like automatically you're going to get a pass interference on a defensive back.
I'll tell you
These
what.
Guys
that's part of the game plan.
You can't even breathe on a freaking receiver anymore without getting a flag.
I'll tell you what, Jeff, that worked yesterday. I saw a bunch of screen passes on third and long, go for long first downs yesterday, too.
Yeah. I mean, if the screen plays are for over-aggressive defenses, when they're called right, they can be big, big plays. And I think the Giants have gotten better in the screen game because, you know,
absolutely.
Prior to 2 or 3 years ago, the Giants couldn't run a screen to save their life.
Right.
I mean, horrible. But
okay, just two other things quickly.
Sure.
I'd like to see Dakwa get some touches instead of Andre Williams, okay? To me, Dakwa can hit the hole quicker than anybody else in the backfield. And I know you got Len coming up. I know he's listening now. I want to ask Len if he remembers anything about the proposed speed match race that was going to be at one time between Homer Jones and what's his name there? The fastest guy in the world that used to play for the Cowboys. I can't remember his name.
Oh,
wide receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. You know the runner. I know. I know exactly who you're talking about. Oh,
I just can't remember. So,
what's the guy's name?
I'm waiting to hear your comment on that, buddy. You guys have a good
day. Let's find out. Thanks, Jeff. Let's go right to Len. Let's bring him on. Len, I know Len remembers the name of the Cowboy wide receiver, and I can't remember it. Oh, that's right. Hayes. Bullet Bob. That's right.
Bullet Bob Hayes.
There you go.
And let me tell you real quick. Homer would have won that.
Of course he would have.
Now, there's a little bias there, but
yeah, a little bit.
I know Hayes was the world's fastest human there through 2 Olympic Games, but Homer Jones could run. Homer Jones could run.
Absolutely.
Hey, look, I'm feeling good. Hey, guys, I'm feeling good about this. Of course, I always think the Giants are going to win, but I'm feeling good about this game tonight.
In what way?
Well, let me just say, I think we're going to change it up a little bit tonight. I mean, we got a sample. It's a small sample. You ran the stats on offense in the red zone and defense in the red zone. Whatever we've been doing hasn't been working. So I think we need to change it up. I'm a big time for some deception in the red zone. Let's spread them out when we get down, particularly inside the 10-yard line. Let's spread things out. And I think second down is a key down. I know, John, you know, I've been harping on this for about a year and a half now. The most overlooked down, second down. Let's do some things differently when we've got the ball. I think we're going to need a little deception. If we come out and play them straight up, it's going to be a tough game.
Now, Len, it's funny. I've heard other people argue in the red zone. They want the Giants to use more fullback and do a little bit more power run down there. You want to do the opposite. You want to spread them out a little bit, huh?
Well, wait. Now, listen. When was the last time we ran the fullback? I'll run the fullback. That's deception. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it could be a deception because we haven't done it.
I don't want to see Andre Williams off tackle. We get inside the 5-yard line.
You know, we haven't seen Andre Williams a ton down there, though, in the last couple weeks, Len.
Nope. We've seen a lot of just little passing downs.
Listen, if we're going to score six times, then I think that's what it's going to take to win this game.
Six scores?
We need six scores, and I think four of those need to be touchdowns.
Okay.
That's how we win this game.
That's right around what I think the game is going to be.
We changed this up a little bit, guys. I mean, they game plan us very well, both on offense and defense.
Yeah, Chip Kelly's a good coach.
They game plan us. And I think if we go down there and show them what we've been doing for the first 6 weeks, we're going to have a problem. But I think Spagnuolo's going to change it up. Look, if you show me a three-man rush in the red zone tonight on the part of the Giants, it's not going to work. Come on, go get this quarterback in the red zone. Go get this quarterback if Bradford goes back there. The other good thing here, I'm hoping either Ayers or, I want to see both of them on the field, but either Ayers or Selvey plays tonight. It allows us to kick Jenkins inside. He's a better tackle than he is an end, and I think that helps with the run game. If we can shut down the run game, force Bradford to throw the ball. And, John, what an understatement. And I'm a Hosley fan. I'm rooting for him tonight, but – if you said he's not the biggest guy, oh my gosh, that's an understatement. Just keep it in front of you, J-Ron. Nail the guy.
He is what he is, right? Yeah. I mean, listen, I think we get what you're saying. Change some things around. You don't want to go and change the color of your skin you can't. After everything you've been doing all up to this point offensively, this team's been pretty good. You can do a little things here and there, like maybe line Vereen outside a couple plays or do some other things in that red zone.
All right, okay. Now we're starting to talk about a couple of things all we can do. Also, listen, even if he's not going to be your main receiver, get Beckham out on the field. As soon as you put 13 out on the field, everybody starts looking for him.
Of course.
Things change. All we need to do is change things just a little bit in their thinking. A little bit in their thinking. But look, we've gone down there and we've won games in any stadium that they've played in over the last 50 years. And we're gonna do that again tonight. Let's go, Giants. Let's win this ball game. I can't wait till 8:30, guys.
Well, it'll be here before you know
it. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you, Len. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Len. Have a good night.
Len's always confident. I like that.
He is. He is always confident. He's a lot better than Charlie. Charlie's always, a little negative Charlie.
Don't say his name. Then he's going to call.
Well, he wouldn't have much time for Charlie to call anyway.
Yeah, in fact, we only have 5 minutes. We got two more calls. We'll get to him.
Oh, Charlie. Look, Charlie's lighting up the board.
Charlie, we love you. You know that.
We like Charlie.
I'm just busting on you, buddy. Let's go to Ken in New Jersey. He's next to last here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on game day. Ken, what's going on?
What's up, Ken?
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing?
Hi, Ken.
I called last week. It looks like we're going to have our guys on the field. I feel real confident in our team tonight. I feel like we're the more talented and more classy team.
Definitely more classy.
What happened in Philly this week. I don't know if you guys heard. Somebody put a Steve Weatherford jersey on the Rocky statue in Philadelphia.
I did not hear that.
And it's actually, making national news. Like, Philadelphia is livid about it.
That's actually pretty funny.
Steve came out in his defense. He came out in his defense. He was not the one who put it on there.
Wow. Well, no matter what name was on there, still, wouldn't have. I mean, that's.
By the way, then the Eagles fans tonight are doing a blackout in the stands. Everyone's supposed to wear black. So for a night game, I'm curious to see what that's like. I hate it in the NBA when team when they have like it's the whiteouts and stuff in the stands. I think that's very distracting.
Well,
for
if
me.
You're a Giants fan, you should wear white.
I'm very curious, or blue, and I'm very curious to see how that looks tonight in Philly.
Hey, as long as the Giants were watching the Carolina game, I think they could deal with the noise there and all the crowd disruption. Carolina seemed to deal with it just fine.
What a great job by Cam Newton into that game, huh?
Oh, my God. It's like every time he threw the ball, it was guaranteed to the tight end.
Certainly, I'd like to see the Giants tight end get involved in this game tonight, too. That's in
me,
another
too.
Thing.
I got him on my team in DraftKings.
All right.
There you go.
I'd like to see him do great.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I just thought I'd let you guys know that. And go Giants.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. Scott in New York. He's last. He wraps us up. What's up, Scott? Scott going once. Scott going twice.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, you just made it in, Scott. What's up?
Okay. A couple questions I have for Jeff, if I can ask about the special teams.
Go right ahead.
Jeff, do you really believe that it was worth letting Steve Rutherford go and what the punting game is today? Did they really increase or improve that in your eyes?
Well, I just think that it comes a point in time when at every position, whether it's, you know, it doesn't matter, punters, kickers, linemen, there's things that go into the evaluation process the Giants did. There's salary cap. There's all kinds of factors that go into it. And when you have an opportunity to go out and get a young guy that that they felt that could do just as good a job at more probably a better job at directional kicking than Steve. Steve struggled with that over the years that he was here. He was a good punter, but he just couldn't you know, focus in on how to get the ball in certain places when the team wanted him to do it. This young guy has the opportunity to do that, and he's been doing it. So, you know, I wish the best for Steve. I hope hopefully he gets another job because he is a good punter.
Well, I have one last question I'm going to ask, gentlemen, real fast. Entree Roll, I know it was a money issue, and it was, you know, again the finances. Again, I'm a fan. I'm not behind the scenes as a GM or a coach. But I look at the situation where they paid a pretty penny for John Beeson, a great guy when he's healthy, he's on the field, a great player. And I had this dialogue last week on the show, too. But I look at a guy like Entree Roll. He's been a proven leader. He's been durable. And if anything, this whole year, the secondary, though it's done well, but I think he would have been that much more of a mentor to Collins and the whole unit as a whole and keeping it together. I mean, what is your opinion?
Well, I don't really have an opinion on it. I more have of kind of how things work. And I know that being employed by the Giants for 7 years and getting paid by them in a contract and seeing now being an analyst and doing stuff that I am, I realize what the Giants and how they operate. And they operate to a point where they have a value for each position and each player. They feel that this is how much they're going to pay them. And really, they don't overpay for that product. And for some reason, they felt that the money that Entree wanted was a little bit high, and they put a number on it, and they decided that, hey, you know what, that's all we're going to pay, and he went somewhere else. And then they decided to go after and draft another guy. They bring in a Merriweather, who is a proven veteran, and he's done well for the Giants. I mean, he's done real well for them this year, and he can be somewhat of a mentor, if you will. But now, I know that's in hindsight, because they didn't bring Merriweather in until later, but they just have a price at every player, and that's just the way they move on from them. And, you know, same thing with Weatherford. I mean, he was making a lot of money, and he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do, and that's why they cut him.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Appreciate the call. Two things on yesterday real quick before we say goodbye. Colts fake punt last night.
If you want to call it that, are you kidding me?
So here's the thing. First of all, they screw up the fake play because they had a legal formation. So the play wouldn't even have counted if it would have worked.
Yeah.
In that situation, once the Patriots don't do whatever the Colts are looking for them to do, you're supposed to take the delay of game, right?
If you're under there, you back off and you look over to the sideline and you just say, that's it, guys. Or just somebody jump off sides.
The
or
poor
something.
Wide receiver snapped the ball, got so excited that he got a chance to do something.
But did you see how he snapped it? He was kind of like a delay, like, oh, whoops, oh, shit, I moved, whoop, I snapped it.
Well, and the guy behind him wasn't ready for the snap, so I don't even think that guy even thought they were going to run the play.
It was a debacle.
What a mess. Number two, and I'm always a defender of these, and I understand the rules. I like to think better than most, and last year, I knew that Dez Bryant catch was going to get overturned. I thought it was going to be incomplete. How in God's name
Detroit game
was that Golden Tate a catch a touchdown when the Devontae Freeman play last week wasn't. I don't understand. He had the ball for maybe a second and a half before it got knocked out. And then, remember that play, Larry Donnell, from 2 years ago against Washington? He caught it in the end zone, had control, got hit, the ball came loose. Why wasn't that a touchdown then?
And what they explained yesterday, Donnell should have been a touchdown.
His feet were down.
Right. And then they on the red zone yesterday, they went into Dean Bowling, what's his name?
Blandino,
and said, and he got his dissertation on what it was.
So now what? So
he
what
said
did he
that
say?
He said because he said on this his second step was down, the ball was in possession, and then on his third step is when the ball came out that he had 2 feet down, and it was established as a catch. Therefore, they ruled it a touchdown.
See, I didn't think that was established as the catch yet. I didn't think he had it for long enough. So what? So now's the deal. If you go down, you just take two little pitter-patter steps. That counts as control now. But if you take two big steps and you're on your way to the ground, then it's just, I don't know. See,
and again, we all ask ourselves, what is a catch?
See, now, to me,
what is a catch?
That's the thing. The last couple years, I understood what a catch was. You had to maintain control throughout the process of the catch. I got that. But now what they've done this year, putting in, you know, the turning yourself into a runner thing, this to me is now added confusion.
Well, obviously, look at what's happening. This isn't the only play this year that's happened. I mean, even the Giants had a game. There was some, I'm trying to remember who it was earlier in the season. The Giants game was this. It was a catch or wasn't a catch?
It was against Dallas, and Dallas actually challenged
that's
the play
right
on the field. It was Larry Donnell.
It was Donnell.
Middle,
it was Donnell.
Yeah.
Well, it was either Donnell or Fells. I can't remember which one, but it was on a tight end. Yeah, it's just confusing, but. And of course they'll probably come out today and say, "Oh, they made a mistake."
Well, no, here's the thing. No, but here's what's so confounding about it. It's the same people in New York making all these decisions. It's not like you could say, "Well, one person has a different interpretation than the other." All these decisions be made by the same people.
Yeah, and
so
in central
to me,
command center.
I just didn't understand why Tate was deemed to have possession and had broken the plane, while Freeman 2 weeks ago. Did not. I didn't get it. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. It bothered me yesterday.
And even the Scott Hansen from the red zone when they came out with the call.
Oh, he was hilarious.
He was like, "Are you
kidding
me?
Goes,
we got to get this thing reviewed."
And he's like,
again.
"We're going to be seeing this thing 30 times tomorrow. Nobody knows what's a catch." Anyway, yeah, exactly. Everybody have a great rest of your day. If you want to tune into the game on radio tonight, 7 o'clock on WFAN, myself, Feegs, Meadow, Dottino. We'll have the pregame for you. Then, of course, the game. And then postgame, you'll have Lance and Sean Landetta on the fan. Feegles moves over to TV to join Russ. And you got David Deal tonight? Or who do you have with
David
you?
Deal and Russ on Fox 5, Giants postgame live.
Oh, it's on Fox. I'm sorry. I said my 9 before. It was supposed to be
well,
Fox.
Which I think is Fox.
Well, yeah, but there are two different stations.
Well, it's on my 9, I think. It's whatever. Yeah, just flip through the channels. Just
that's one hell of a tease by Jeff Feegles there. Just flip through the channels till you see him, and that's how you tune in tonight,
you'll
folks.
Figure it out. I know. I know it's on Verizon. No, I want to tell you.
Well, just stop. Just stop. Just
I'm not
going to
say anymore.
Just.
I know stop. That we'll be on right after the game, though.
All right. Hold on. See now I have
I
to get it right.
I
hold
think
on
it's Fox.
One second.
Now,
I have to get it right. Hold on. Fox. No, but those are two different stations. It's not on both. Feegles,
maybe
you're killing
today
me.
It is. Maybe all right,
hold
it
on.
Will be.
All right, hold on. All right. Giants postgame live on My9.
My9. There
now,
you
My
go.
My9 now is owned by Fox, so that's where the confusion
That's
came.
Where the confusion
Postgame,
okay.
My9. So
owned by Fox.
The bottom line here, folks, is that just remember I'm the one that had it right. Thanks for joining us for Jeff Feegles.
And as he should.
I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you later tonight, everybody. Have a good one. Go Giants.
All right, here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.